Romans chapter 8, we'll be reading verse 14 through verse 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but if you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your salvation, and thank you for what you've given to us. You've given us far more than we deserve, far more than we could imagine. And today, Lord, as we continue to look at what you've done, I pray that every person here would be greatly encouraged by your word, greatly encouraged by what you did for them. Lord, we need to be reminded of these things. We can get too wrapped up in the world. We can get too wrapped up in ourselves. We can get too wrapped up in thinking that this is all there is. And yet, Father, you've given us everything when you saved us. So thrill us again this morning with your word. May we understand it. May we revel in it. May you use it to encourage us to be fully devoted and faithful disciples of Jesus. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next slide. The picture on the screen. It's a special picture taken in the last month with one of my granddaughters. Several months before this picture was taken, I made a promise to her. I found out that what her favorite dessert was. And so as we were talking on the phone, I said to her, now listen, when you come to Wisconsin, Papa and you are going to have a date for hot fudge sundaes. Now, public service announcement to all future grandpas. If you make a kind of promise like that to your granddaughter, they'll never forget it. In fact, she's been bugging my son and my daughter-in-law for months. When are we going to get to Wisconsin? Papa and me are going on a date. Of course, I love that. Long story short, I kept my promise. We went out and we had hot fudge sundaes together and had a great time. Now, here's the... None of your business. Here's the wonderful thing. This sweet little girl that I love with all my heart, I'd die for her, was adopted as a newborn by my son and his wife. To her, they are without question mom and dad. And I'm Papa. And she loves her Papa, and I love her and adore her. Listen carefully, just as much as my other 11 grandchildren, I found that it makes no difference whatsoever. So when we come to our topic this morning, your adoption, I come with a very positive attitude just for the name of this particular aspect of our salvation. Now, I'm well aware that there are some people who view adoption with suspicion. They're not quite sure if it really worked. It really does work. But when it comes to my adoption and your adoption, into the family of God, I want you to know it's wholly positive. It's a wonderful aspect of your salvation. Again, it's one of those things you probably didn't know happened when the moment you were saved. All you knew is you were a sinner that needed the forgiveness of God. You didn't want to go to hell. You wanted to go to heaven, and you cried out to Jesus to forgive you and save you. But then as you began to study the scripture, you found out all of these other things that come along with our salvation that we've been studying. And adoption is one of those. Now, for those receiving the book of Romans for the very first time after Paul wrote it, they were very familiar with the concept, especially among their leaders, among the very wealthy. Let me read for you just a brief description from one of my history books. Adoption in ancient Rome was primarily a legal tool for the nobility to secure male heirs, transfer patriarchal power, and preserve family estates. Adopted males took the family name of their new father and received full inheritance rights, acting as the ultimate political mechanism for dynastic succession. Now, what if political leaders are very well, or they weren't happy with the sons that they had, they would adopt a chosen young man to be the heir and to receive everything from them. Two well-known examples. Caesar Augustus, in the scriptures, in the days when Jesus was born, was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. And he became one of the great Caesars. Nero, whom we referred to often in our study of Philippians, was the adopted son of Emperor Claudius. Choosing to give everything to Nero instead of his biological son. Now, that little bit of history, just to demonstrate that the Romans who first received this book of Romans were very familiar with the concept, probably more so than we are. And I think that's a loss for us. But the fact that you've been adopted as a son or a daughter by Almighty God is a very powerful and wonderful truth. In fact, it can help you ultimately understand who you really are. We opened our service this morning singing these words. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, a stranger by birth. But I've been adopted. My name's written down. Heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. You are right now, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are right now, for eternity, a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's not just something we sing. That's a reality. J.I. Packer wrote of adoption, a privilege that the gospel offers. Now, what do we know about it? A few preliminary remarks. We need to realize that our adoption into the family of God is all of God, 100%. It is outside the realm of any human effort or finagling. Listen to what John wrote in John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, listen, he gave the right to become children of God. Adoption into the family of God is a gracious act by God on our behalf. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough to get it. Like every aspect that we've studied when it comes to our salvation, it's all of God's grace. But I want you to also see, not only is it an act of God, it's an action by the Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are involved in your adoption as children of God. Now, in the passage we read this morning, three times we see the Holy Spirit working in us, governing our relationship with God. In fact, Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter on the Holy Spirit. When you go home today, if you've got nothing to do, take out your Bibles and read chapter 8. 16 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in what many people consider the highlight of the book of Romans. So it very much, our life had very much to do with the Spirit. But verse 16 that we read says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Isn't that interesting? One of the Spirit's jobs in you is to communicate to you that you indeed have been adopted by God. The Spirit says to us, you're a child of God. Don't waste your time wondering if it's true. That's who you are. It's one of the Spirit's jobs to remind us of that. But not only that, in verse 15, the Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. Now, however it happens in the Godhead, one thing I know, the Spirit's right in the middle of it. So much so that the Bible calls him the Holy Spirit of adoption. He's involved. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ planned from before creation to adopt you as his son or daughter. A main goal of our Heavenly Father, to fill heaven with sons and daughters that he saved and adopted. Hebrews 2, it's always been one of my favorite verses. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. God's goal all along has been to bring sons and daughters to heaven, to glory, to fill heaven with those he saved and adopted. And adoption is that act that brings us not only into God's family, not only there, but to heaven, to glory. And of course, all of this is due to what Jesus did on our behalf, the Son. On Calvary's cross, he did for us what makes it possible for us to be saved and redeemed and justified and adopted. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Isn't that amazing? In Christ Jesus, you all are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of God through faith. One more thing that has great practical application. This adoption by God of those he has saved is universal in its scope. It's not just for believers in the United States of America. A song we will sing in heaven, Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. I'm not sure. I don't know what language we're going to speak in heaven. I don't know what language we're going to sing in heaven. Now, I had a lot of Hispanic friends, and I had Emmanuel, who always used to tell me that Spanish is the language of heaven. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what they used to tell me. But here's the thing. Whatever language it is, or maybe we'll all sing in our own language and we'll have the ability to understand everybody else in their language. Who knows? But we will sing with brothers and sisters in Christ from every corner of the globe. People we will then love and get to know, for we will have eternity to meet them and know them, and we'll love them. Now, having said all of that, I want to talk about three things your adoption by God into his family brings to you. All right? Three privileges, three benefits, if you will. Number one, your adoption into God's family brings new relationships. Your adoption into God's family brings new relationships. And these new relationships are both in heaven and on earth. First, your adoption brings a new relationship with your heavenly Father. Verse 15 of our passage today. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Couple that with this verse, Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now that word, Abba, is only found three times in your Bible. Once, from the lips of Jesus as he prays to his Father. The other two times are the two verses that we've just read that apply to you, apply to sons and daughters of God. The word is a term of endearment, of special relationship, like Papa or Daddy. It's more than just a title for the head of the family. It comes with a heart of love for someone and the someone who reciprocally loves back. It's the difference between a formal father and mother and mom and dad. This is amazing and wonderful reality. The Almighty God of the universe now invites you to approach him as dad, as papa. Not flippantly, humbly, but doing so because of the intimate relationship we have with him. We're family. He's the perfect father. We are his saved by grace kids. I'm the child of a benevolent and gracious king. And then I enter into a new relationship with people on this earth, with a multitude of brothers and sisters in Christ. First, at Pleasant Prairie Baptist Church. Look around, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to spend eternity together. And if you don't treat me nice, I'm going to put my house right next to yours in heaven. And we'll have focus on the, well, I'd say every morning. So. Secondly, with brothers and sisters in Christ and every gospel church from miles around, wherever you may travel. Thirdly, from every tribe and people and nation. You know, oftentimes our preferences at best and our preferences at worst warp our understanding of who our brothers and sisters in Christ are. Not only warps it in theory, sometimes it warps it in practice. We need to be careful of that. I thought about that this week. In every major war that's ever been fought, there are Christians at one side shooting at the other side who are shooting back. I remember when I first came to Emmanuel, which was a German Baptist church, and it was a little more German than it is right now. But we had quite a few people in the church whose parents were Christians, but in the German army, United States of America. When you first hear that, it sounds weird, but it was true. You know, war propaganda paints a harsher picture, but the truth of the matter, every army in the world has followers of Jesus Christ in it who go to war against other armies who have followers of Jesus Christ in it. Some of you remember this. 5 or 6 years ago, when a group came up from the south to do some work in this building and to conduct a VBS, they actually built the sound when they came. One of the young men, a delightful Christian young man, fought in the Vietnam War. He was a believer, but he fought for the Viet Cong against the United States of America. Now, as an Army vet, that was weird for me at first. I went home and I said, you know, he fought against us, and now his son's at my church teaching Vacation Bible School. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, only God can do that, first of all. But just a reminder, he has his people in every tribe and nation and language. Even in those nations that are predominantly something else. I think it's good for us to remember that the nation we're now at war at, their leaders might be nutcases. Did I say that? Yeah. Their leaders might be there. But listen, one of the fastest growing churches in the world right now, evangelistically, is in that country. Iranian young people are coming to Christ in droves. You say, well, how can that be? Well, their leaders, obviously, aren't. But God does that. God does that. The book that we're studying, the book of Romans, was written to a city where Christians were being put to death left and right by the crazy leaders in Rome. And yet that church grew and grew and grew. Whoever you consider your enemy, you have to understand that whoever that is, there are probably people there who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me make it really simple for you today. Right now, if you watch the news, it's very easy to get angry at Somalians because of some of the things that have happened with money. But never forget, there are hundreds, thousands of Somalians who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's very angry to get upset with all the people that came across our border 4 or 5 years ago without stop. But just remember, within those groups, there were hundreds, perhaps thousands, of believers who also wanted to come into this country and saw an opportunity to do so. In fact, There's quite a few churches in the South now that are ministering directly to immigrant populations that came across. So someday when you get to heaven and you meet someone and they say, "Where are you from?" "Well, I started here, but I ended up in the United States." "Well, when did you come to the United States?" "Well, when you opened your borders and you told everybody to come, I came." And you're going to say, "Well, fortunately, you're going to be in heaven, so no more sin in you." You're going to say, "Well, praise the Lord." And you're going to shake hands and say, "Good to meet you, my brother." Now, why do I say all this? I think it's good for us to remind ourselves that we need to be very careful when we group whole nations and peoples and tribes and languages into one bunch and forget that we've got a God who can save in every nation of the world. Oh, and brings into God's family you new relationships. Number two, your adoption into God's family brings new privileges. New privileges. Now, the first privilege I read to you just a few moments ago, Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, listen to this, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. I think that's a wonderful verse. God did leave the children that He's adopted to all on their own, work out this kingdom work. Oh, the Father sends the Spirit. Now, Jesus told us it was going to happen. He said, "Listen, if I leave, the Father is going to send the Spirit." Now, Galatians tells us exactly what He sends His Spirit into our hearts to help us in multiple ways. And you know this, don't you? The Spirit leads us. The Spirit directs us. The Spirit corrects us. The Spirit empowers us. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit gifts us. The Spirit cultivates in us the character of Christ. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit protects us. Think about this. Be without all of that in your Christian journey if God did not gift you by sending His Spirit into your life. It would be like someone giving you a new Cadillac telling you there's not a key in the world that will work in it. Have a good time. Well, the second privilege, certainly related to the first, the privilege of prayer. You have intimate access to the Heavenly Father as a child Heavenly Father. Now, one of the most printed pictures from the 60s was a picture from the Oval Office. You can see it on the screen. President John F. Kennedy is at the desk reading something. But down below is his son, John Jr., playing in a hollow of the desk. He's got toys in his hand. And you might respond, "What in the world's going on here?" That's the Oval Office, one of the most powerful offices in the world. Ah, but you know what's going on. You see, the little boy is the son of the man in the chair. And the little boy has access to his father whenever he wants. Do you get the application? I hope so. As a son of God, as a daughter of God, as a child of God, you have a wonderful access into the presence of your Heavenly Father. Now, can you imagine having that and then ignoring that. Well, unfortunately, we sometimes do. We're too busy to pray. Got too much on our hands to worship. Too busy to think about loving our Heavenly Father. Seems kind of foolish, doesn't it? Seems a little arrogant, doesn't it? Seems a little unbelieving, does it not? Think through this for a moment. God gives to His adopted children privileges that the rest of the world, those who are not His adopted kids, do not have. God in you, God with you, God for you. And I would ask the question, should not your life be significantly different because you've been adopted into the family of God? Then number three, your adoption into God's family brings eternal hope. Your adoption into God's family brings eternal hope. I want to read one more verse, but you don't have to look up to verse 18. Look down to verse 18. This follows the passage that we considered. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing, revealing. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pain, in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Isn't it interesting? There's an aspect of our adoption that is still future. It's quite an amazing thing, this thing called adoption. There's a past aspect of it, in that it was hatched in the mind of God for me, for you, before the foundations of the earth. There's a present aspect of that it happened the moment that God adopted you. He adopted you, and you live every moment as an adopted child of God. And as we just read, there's a future aspect of adoption, redemption, our bodies. Now, what's that referring to? It's referring to eternity. It's referring to the fact that we will get a brand new body. And for those of you who are around my age, I can say, praise the Lord. I'd hate to spend eternity in the one that I have right now. But there's a new one. God has gloriously planned for His children, children saved by grace through faith in Jesus, a glorious future. His children who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, His children who are justified, forgiven of their sin, and declared righteous because of Jesus. His children adopted by Him and for Him forever. We'll even talk about more of that in future weeks. But for now, consider one of my verses. Isaiah first declared it, and then Paul quoted it, 1 Corinthians 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And you'd ask, who's that for, Pastor Dave? His adopted kids. That's the preparation of my Heavenly Father for me, for you. Only question is, are you one of his children? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Has there been a time where you realized, I'm lost, I have no hope. If I were to die today, I have no idea where I'd spend eternity. I would urge you, I would beg you, before July 19th is over, that you kneel beside your bed and you ask Jesus to do what only he can do, to save you forever. And if you can say, yes, I'm a child of God, the only question, are you living as one of his kids? Are you living ignoring the fact? May the truth today of your adoption resonate in your heart and thrill you for who your Heavenly Father is and the privileges and the future he has in store for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. It's a delightful word. I never get tired of seeing it and reading it. And Lord, even though I've been doing this for a long time, there's not a week that goes by as I study the word that I don't continue to learn and revel in something new. And certainly, Lord, in this series that we're in, you've reminded me, you reminded us of some wonderful aspects of this thing called salvation. So, Father, thank you. And I would pray for everybody who's heard our message today from your word. Lord, first, if there are those for whom you don't know because they've never asked you to be Lord and Savior of their life, draw them to yourself. May today be the day of their salvation. Saved by grace, but sometimes forget all they have in you. May you thrill them today with what you've done. Lord, this is a marvelous, marvelous truth. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand today together.